Doing Ein Yaakov, we're on page 56, Chavchet Amud Bet in the standard editions. What we had discussed last time was the reaction after the destruction of the Second Temple, where the rabbis made institutions that we commemorate the destruction of the Temple. We discussed that we put ash on the Chatan's forehead before he goes down to the Chupan, the place where he dons tefillin. We discussed that a kala doesn't wear a gold crown. We discussed there was a custom. Today people don't do it, unfortunately. I don't know why. But there once was, they don't do it means we don't do it. It's no longer a custom. I don't know why. But there was a custom that every time you'd set the table for a lavish meal, you'd leave a place available where no one would sit. And you'd have a setting there. And it was clear that place was to commemorate the destruction of the temple. We still leave part of the house unplastered. When we paint or plaster the home, opposite the front door, there's supposed to be an amma by an amma, a space that's left unpainted to commemorate the destruction of the temple. We know we break a glass under the chuppah to commemorate the destruction of the temple. So there are things that we do. One of the things we do is you're not supposed to sit just drinking wine and listening to music. If there's a simcha, there's a wedding, there's a mitzvah going on, that's permissible. But just for the fun of it, we don't do that. So that's expanded on in Tractate Gittin. The Talmud over here was discussing different things that it was discussed whether they should be prohibited or not. And the Gemara had quoted that people were anointing themselves. The prophet was saying the temple would be destroyed. And they continued anointing themselves with this extraordinary, exquisite oil called the oil of Paliyaton. And Rav Yosef was of the opinion that after the destruction of the Second Temple, the rabbis forbade anointing oneself with this oil of Paliyaton. And Rav Yosef quotes that Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba decreed they shouldn't anoint themselves with Paliyaton. The rabbis didn't agree with him. We discussed Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. You remember he was the one to appoint five disciples to give them smicha, to ensure the smicha continued, and the Romans caught him. You remember the Roman decree? They would destroy the nearest city. So he went in between two great cities. They couldn't possibly destroy them. And he gave smicha to five disciples, and then the Romans caught him and killed him. They shot over 100 arrows into his body. But his students escaped, and the smicha continued. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba was of the opinion that you may not use the oil of Paliyaton, and the rabbis didn't agree with him. They said, you're allowed to anoint yourself even after the destruction. And the Gemara says, if it's something that's used for pleasure, why wouldn't they forbid it? So Abaye says, because they didn't forbid everything that's for pleasure. You see that the verses say, Hashotim b'mizrikeyayin. People used to drink their wine. We're in the end of the second wine line with mizrikeyayin. Mizrak could mean, in modern Hebrew, mazrek is a syringe. Mizrak, the root of the word mizrak is zorek, to throw. So they had these, that they would drink wine through a mizrak. What is a mizrak? Mizrake yain. Ravami veravasi. Two opinions, two differing opinions. One is of Ravami and one is of Ravasi. Chadamal, one of them said they would drink their wine with a tool called knishkenin. That's how they drank their wine, with knishkenin. Where are we? Page 56. You see page 56 on the top right corner? Page 56. You got it? So you see where 2, 4, 6, 8... 10, 11 lines from the bottom. So knishkenin was some kind of long glass vessel that you could blow the wine from one end of the vessel to the other end. It probably went in a circular way, and you could blow the wine up, and then the wine came streaming into your mouth, something like that. I'm not sure exactly what they did with that, but you'd throw the wine. And that's what the Navi is describing, that they drank their wines through this vessel called knishkenin. The Chadamar, and the other opinion says, shimzokin kosoten zelaze, that they were talented, they could take a goblet filled with wine and toss it to the other guy, and he'd catch it and drink it without dripping. So this was a talent they had. The Talmud says Rabbi Yochanan used to be able to juggle 18 cups of wine, and he wouldn't drop. He wouldn't drop a drop, and he wouldn't drop a cup. Okay, so that's a talent we don't have, right? Okay, maybe someone has. I don't have. I know how to trick you into thinking I have it, but I don't have that talent. I mean, there are tricks to making wine seem like it could spill, but it really can't, right? That was what they were doing. Hachinami dasu, would you say that's prohibited? You're not allowed to drink wine that way? V'arabba barvuna iklala b'reish galuta. Rabba barvuna came to the house of the head, the reish galuta, was the prince who was in charge of the Jews in exile. He was appointed sometimes by the government, sometimes by the people. V'shata b'knishkenin. And you see, he did drink with this vessel. V'lo amale v'lo midi. Rabba barvuna didn't say anything to the prince. So you see that even though people in the times of the temple were drinking with this vessel, and that's part of what the prophet is rebuking them, I'm telling you the temple's about to be destroyed. You're anointing yourself with this wonderful oil. You're drinking with these exquisite vessels. Why don't you take heed? And even though he said that, we don't prohibit drinking with this vessel. By the same token, we shouldn't prohibit anointing with that wine. But the rule is, kol midid it be'tanug ve'it be'simcha, things that are extraordinary in the pleasure they give and in the happiness they give, gazru rabbanan, they're the rabbis decreed. Those things in the verse which give pleasure and happiness. Aval midid it be'tanug ve'let be'simcha, but these things which you enjoy the oil, you enjoy this way of drinking wine, but it's not a source of happiness, so there, lo gazru rabbanan, the rabbis didn't prohibit it. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that these things are not prohibited. You could drink wine through this vessel, you could anoint with that oil. That stuff the Gemara is saying is not prohibited. We continue, the verse is describing the behavior of the people before the destruction of the temple. So we're continuing with that verse. The Pasuk says, Hashotim and Hashochvim al mitotshin, they would lie on ivory beds, Visruchim al arsotam, yet their beds are soiled. What's the Navi talking about? Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says the prophet is speaking about their behavior that was melamed, the verse is teaching us, shayu mashtinin maim, they used to urinate, bifnei mitotehen arumin, standing in front of their beds naked. So they didn't behave in a manner that was too cleanly. They had ivory beds, but they'd get up in the middle of the night. They didn't want to walk outside. Now, in ancient times, people would go to sleep without clothing. So you get up, you're not going to start walking around without clothing, so they'd stand up in front of their beds, urinate, get back into bed. So that's what the prophet is describing. Megadev ba Rabbi Avu. Rabbi Avu argued. He says, that's not what the verse is talking about. You want to tell me that because they weren't clean, and it's not such a nice way to behave, but for that, the prophet continues and says, "Lachen atay iglu b'rosh golim." That's why they will be exiled first to be exiled. It's not nice, but that's not a reason to exile the people. So he says that can't be the pshat in the pasuk. Mishum de mashtinin maim bifneim totena rumin. Just because they're urinating naked in front of their beds, iglu b'rosh golim. They should be the heads, the leaders in exile. They should be the first to be exiled. No, that's not what the verse is talking about. Ela amar Rabbi Avu, but rather Rabbi Avu said the verse is talking about something else. Eilu bnei adam shayuchlin v'shotin ze v'ze. These are people who used to eat together. V'dovkin mitotehen zo b'zo. And then they'd go to sleep and they'd put their beds together. U'machlifin eshotem ze imze. And then they'd exchange wives. So sometimes they'd have meals together, and when they'd end the meals, so they'd go to bed, and they'd choose between one another's wives who's going to sleep with whom. Umasichin al sotam, and when the Navi says they have ivory beds that are soiled, he's saying they're soiling their beds b'shichvat zera she'ino shelahem. Someone else's seed is being spilt on their bed. They're going to their neighbor's bed. They're allowing the neighbor to come into their bed. So this is what I was describing, that when I read this the first few times, I thought it's an exaggeration. And then I learned that today there are people who think this is perfectly normal. There are people who behave this way.
Once you start with saying, because it certainly doesn't seem to be a Jewish value that we teach, that people sleep naked. In general, there's a modesty thing.
Wait. Naked means naked under the cover.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't mean naked without a cover. It means that under the covers, they didn't used to wear pajamas.
Yes,
and that was the norm. The Talmud says that if a husband says, I love you, but I will not sleep with you unless we're both wearing clothing. So she can say he's crazy. I don't have to stay married to him.
Right. But I mean, you know, we're talking, I'm thinking in the tropical times, and there's this idea, it's not always dark, you know, that generally, as a rule, in modesty, you would think, but I didn't realize.
They were under the cover, yeah.
Some sort of covering.
Yeah, for sure. Amar Rabbi Avu v'amin lab matnita tana. So even though Rabbi Avu says that this pasuk is speaking about people who would exchange wives, that's why the Navi says that they would be first to be exiled. Nonetheless, Rabbi Avu does teach us three important rules. And some say this is even quoted in a braisa. Gimel dvarim mevinta adam nidaniyu. Three things can cause a person to be poor. Guys, listen up. Everyone wants to make a good living, right? Three things that the Talmud says will cause poverty. Ve'iluhen, following three things. Hamashtin maim bifnei mitato arum. If a person urinates naked in front of his bed, so a person has to take care of his needs, let him go somewhere else. So this sounds obvious until you're in the army, until you're on a camping trip, until you go with your wife to the Himalayas or wherever. You won't go to the Himalayas, fine, you'll go to the Golan. But you don't want to go prancing around looking for a restroom. So in a minute, the Talmud will quantify each of these. But this is actually ruled in Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of intimacy, so then the Shulchan Aruch says, and after a couple is intimate, even if he wants to relieve himself, well, he shouldn't do it right by the bed. V'amzazel b'ntirat yadayim. The second thing that the Talmud says would cause poverty is a person who is not careful. He mocks the institution of washing hands before he eats. So that's the second piece of advice. Notice these are both points of cleanliness. It says that the angel who's responsible for poverty, his name is Nibul, filth. The name of the angel who's responsible for poverty is filth. So the Gemara here tells us, first two pieces of advice is he who urinates before his bed naked, he who mocks washing his hands before bread, and third thing that causes poverty, and wait till you hear out the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to define each of these. They're not as simple as they sound. V'sheishto mekalalto b'fanav. His wife curses him in his face. Okay, so wait. The Gemara is going to explain what we're talking about. Hamashtin b'fnei mitato arum. A person who urinates in front of his bed naked. Amarav alomran el adamad rapeh lepuya. We only mean if he's facing the bed. He urinates towards the bed. But if he faces outward, so a man, when he faces outward, well, he could shoot like far away. It's not going to land near his bed. He's facing away from the bed. Right, this is good for a man. This doesn't work for a woman. But then let lanba. So the Gemara says that's okay. Meaning the idea is he shouldn't leave his urination by his bed. But if he goes somewhere else, that's okay. Don't forget, in there now, well, the same thing is true if he urinates into a vessel. They used to, it was complicated. They didn't have bathrooms nearby always. Sometimes it meant going out in the cold. So they had a vichel me raglaim. The Talmud says it was a standard thing. When I was a kid, we went to Phillipsburg Manor, and they showed us how they lived in the days of the pilgrims. So under their beds, they all had potties. All the adults, everyone had their. So that's number one. When a person's facing his bed, it's only wrong if he urinates on the ground. But if he urinates into a vessel, no problem. So that's point number one. Umzazel bin tirat yadayim, someone who derides, who mocks washing hands before bread. That's only if he doesn't cleanse his hand at all. But if he washes his hand, he just doesn't do such a good job at it. And that, we don't hold it against him. The Gemara asks, "V'lav miltei?" It doesn't matter if he doesn't wash his hands well. No, the Gemara says, "I don't buy it." That's not a good answer because the Amar Rav Chista taught, "Anam ashay meloch afnai maya." When I washed my hands, Rav Chista said they'd have to draw water out of the well. He said, "I washed a big handsful. Every time I wash my hands, I washed with large amounts of water. The yavulim loch afnai tivuta, and in that merit, I became very wealthy. They gave me hands full of wealth." And this is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. When one washes one's hands, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's good advice to use enough water You don't have to. I saw people fill like buckets full of whole natla for each hand. Psh, psh, psh. There's a drought in Israel. They don't care, you know. That's not the idea. Enough water so that you cleanse your hand well. That's what the Talmud says, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's an omen for becoming wealthy, to cleanse your hand well before you eat. His wife curses him in his face. Why? Where? When does that cause poverty? Isn't that like, okay. Only about her jewelry. If she's upset at him, you didn't compliment my food enough, you think I'm fat, you don't think my clothing are nice, you hate my father, she's cursing him over all kinds of things like that. Well, okay, placate her, make her happy. Don't, that's not, it shouldn't be happening, but that's not what's going to cause you to be poor. What's going to cause you to be poor? If she's asking you for jewelry, she's asking you for clothing, she's asking you for the ornaments that a woman ordinarily wants, and you're not giving it to her, and then she curses you over that. Provided that you really could afford it. You have the money, you could afford it, you're being stingy, and you don't care. Nah, your rags are fine. What do you need a new dress for? It's only a little hole there, so you patch it up, come on. Okay, so then if she gets upset at him over that, that causes poverty. When he's stingy, he withholds. Notice these are all points of stinginess. I don't want to use the outhouse, I'm going to urinate near the bed. I don't want to wash my hands well, I'll only wash with a little bit of money. A person doesn't want to buy his wife the jewelry she wants when he could afford it. It's not a problem. These types of stinginess, they cause poverty. That's what we learned. Today we learned about the goblets they used for drinking wine, where the Talmud says ultimately you could use those goblets and you could use that fancy oil because they don't promote happiness. They're just a pleasurable way of doing things. And the Talmud said that those who used to sleep on the ivory beds, the way they'd soil them is by switching wives, and that's what caused the people to be exiled. And the three things that bring on poverty, the Talmud said, is when one urinates facing their bed without a vessel, when one isn't careful in washing their hands before they eat bread, and when one's wife curses them for not buying them enough jewelry when they could really afford it and they're not buying her.